All right, let's begin the second session in Theology of Ministry course. I want to talk about Habakkuk on vision today. Well, in light of the corporate accounting scandal of the week environment that we've been living in, and the stock market on a roller coaster ride, perhaps the reminder to the church to not trust the world or the ways of the world will receive some new attention. The pastor as CEO and the church as a corporation to be managed like other corporations have shaped church life for too long. Let's go back to the Bible and discover afresh what vision and ministry and mission speak apart from corporate speak. Before it sounds like I'm discounting what Aubrey Malthus says in developing a vision for ministry, I want to affirm my appreciation for the book and glad to recommend it. And we'll draw much from it in the next two sessions. However, I want to preface those discussions by looking at the biblical use of the word vision. To do what Malthus advocates in his definition of vision on page 32 of his book, the kind of vision described in the Bible must come first. Notice the definition that Malthus gives. I define an organizational vision as a clear and challenging picture of the future of a ministry as you believe it can and must be. That definition is appropriate for this Theology of Ministry course, as your beliefs and understandings of the nature of ministry will shape the corporate vision for your church or para-ministry. But shouldn't those beliefs be shaped by your understanding of the nature of God? That's where the book of Habakkuk needs to be brought into any discussion on vision in a ministry context. Habakkuk is often quoted at vision workshops. Write down the vision, chapter 2, verse 2. If the vision tarries, wait for it. You see that in 2, 3. That's certainly good advice. But more importantly, the just shall live by faith of 2, 4, that theme of Habakkuk is the theological underpinning for the Protestant Reformation by way of Luther's discovery of Romans 1, 17. And the Reformation needed for authentic ministry today. The vision for ministry begins for us today where it began for Habakkuk and other Old Testament prophets, with the burden of the Lord. Let's do a brief word study of two key words in Habakkuk and see how those words impact a vision for ministry. The King James Version uses the word burden in Habakkuk 1:1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. While most modern translations use the word oracle, it's because of this burden or oracle that Habakkuk comes to the realization that the just shall live by faith. But not without first asking some hard questions of the Lord, as you see in Habakkuk 1:12-17. The Massah, M-A-S-S-A, Massah that Habakkuk saw means, according to Strong's Concordance, a burden, utterance, mental burden, a prophecy. The significance of this word is seen in a passage like Jeremiah 23:36-38, where to speak of the burden of the Lord when the Lord has not spoken was to risk the judgment of God. You see this in Jeremiah 23:39-40. Have you seen the burden of the Lord? Have you received an oracle from God? Getting a word from God is where ministry begins. See, that's what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me. That's Acts 26:17-18, New International Version. For Habakkuk, the burden was nothing less than a revelation of God and what it means to live by faith, even if a cruel nation is being used to bring chastisement, as you see in Habakkuk 1:6. If injustice occurs, as you see in 2:5, or even if the fig tree does not blossom, neither there shall be fruit on the vine, as you see in 3:17, nevertheless, living by faith, can application be made today to a terrorist? To corporate scandal with the pension plans and bankrupt corporations daily difficulties that people encounter? Yes. Just living by faith. The just shall live by faith. To live by faith is to know that the whole earth shall be filled by the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea, as you see in Habakkuk 3:14. To live by faith is to be in awe of the majesty of God, that the Lord is in His holy temple, that all the earth keeps silence before Him, as you see in Habakkuk 2:20. To live by faith is to rejoice in the Lord, to joy in the God of my salvation, Habakkuk 3:18. From that burden seen, vision writing can come, as you see in Habakkuk 2:2. And vision can be waited for, as you see in 2:3. Chazom, that's C-H-A-Z-A-Z-O-U-M. Again, that's C-H-A-Z-O-U-M. Chazom, translated vision in the King James, New American Standard, and RSV, and revelation in the NIV, means a sight, a dream, a revelation, oracle, a vision. Here's where the church needs to reclaim the biblical understanding of vision and get away from the corporate world's vision of what will promote the bottom line. Biblical vision is exactly that. It's having the clarity of vision to see what God reveals. Chazom is used in Daniel 8:1, verses 2 to 13 that follow, have seeing and sensing words throughout. I, Daniel, had a vision. I saw, I looked up, I watched, I saw, I heard. Similarly, in Obadiah, verse 1, the vision of Obadiah is a word spoken to the prophet. And in Psalm 89:19, a vision was spoken concerning David. Little wonder that where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18 says. Proverbs 29:18 has been used against some leaders who seemed unable to articulate their vision. But if the people were only wanting someone to sloganize a corporate rallying mantra, then the silent leader who refuses to speak of a vision until actually having a vision from the Lord may be closer to a 21st century disciple than someone who merely defines an organizational vision. See, Joel's prophecy of dreams and visions in Joel 2:28, and quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 2, had nothing to do with a nicely worded vision statement. Jeremiah cautions against prophets who speak visions from their own mouths, but not from the mouth of the Lord. That's Jeremiah 23:16, and addresses the same theme in Lamentations 2:9, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. Returning to Habakkuk and what he wrote, chapter 2, verse 2, was not the kind of vision expression that people would want to hand out as witnessing tools. However, the message, the just shall live by faith, is exactly what the pre-Assyrian invasion community needed to hear and what our post-9/11 world needs to hear as well. Think about the revolution that could occur today if we took the concept of living by faith and shaped our ministries around the idea of helping people live by faith. We'd have outreach ministries to bring people into faith, preaching ministries to help people have faith, as Romans 10:17 encourages. There'd be new believers ministries to help people live by faith, discipleship and nurturing ministries to help people grow in faith. There'd be prayer and Bible study ministries to help people be disciplined in the faith. There'd be equipping ministries to help people learn to exercise spiritual gifts by faith. There'd be witnessing and missions ministries to help people participate in sharing their faith. Stewardship ministries to help people learn how to be faithful with God's resources. Worship-oriented ministries to help people express their faith through passionate worship. Counseling ministries to help people live by faith even in times of crisis. Luke 4:18-19 ministries to help the poor, the prisoners, the blind, and the oppressed by stepping out in faithful obedience. What's the faith level of the people you're connected with as a leader or as a participant? What levels of living by faith need to be emphasized where you are? Can you see the burden of the Lord? Some final thoughts about vision. Now, I don't want to sound like a young believer that I knew in college who wouldn't even go get a hamburger without first hearing from God. No, instead I'm talking about people, that because of people like Habakkuk, whose vision helps us to better understand the nature of God, we can do ministry by faith based on God's Word. Many of us are also linked historically to a vision God gave to the founder of the movement, denomination, or ministry that we're a part of. And so our part may be hearing specifically from God what our part of that vision needs to be most emphasized today. The reminder in James that Elijah was a man just like us, that's James 5:17, encourages us to be people of prayer who expect to receive guidance from God, just like God gave guidance to Elijah or Habakkuk or Paul. You see, the Creator God, who saw what He made was good, desires to enable us to have clear vision for ministry today. Live by faith. Just live by faith. I want us to shift the focus now from Habakkuk to thinking about your purpose, thinking through your purpose. I appreciate what the textbook that we're using about vision, how he gives some practical steps in that. And I want to just take a few moments to emphasize part of that. And so I want us to discuss thinking through your purpose. The process of thinking through the mission of a ministry applies to the overall ministry of the church, our ministry organization, as well as new ministries that may be birthed. As equippers of the saints, Ephesians 4:12, we want to assist new leaders in being able to clearly state their purpose, priorities, vision, beliefs, values, and mission. For example, Jeremiah's Call is a new ministry sponsored by our local church with the assistance of people in our community and a pro-life counseling ministry. Our church is providing monthly financial support, a woman named Keturah Ogletree, as she establishes the first pro-life pregnancy center in Ireland. It's her hope that similar counseling centers will be started throughout Ireland. To think through the issues related to getting started and staying on track, Keturah and I have discussed the following issues. I gave a copy of Malthus' book to Keturah and had her to read through the Malthus' book. We discussed this whole matter of vision, that she was over in Ireland. She felt God's call to return as a full-time missionary. She's had experience as a pro-life counselor and over there found out that there was a great need. And so through all this, God called her to ministry. Well, we discussed these issues. And so I just want to share with you what we came up with in terms of some statements about purpose and priorities and some other things. And in doing this, we have these overall statements for the church, but each time a new ministry is birthed in our churches, we need to go through the same process of thinking through these matters. Because in doing that, the vision becomes clear. Here, the burden of the Lord is now being expressed where, in a way that we can share this with other people and ask them to get on board with us and to help us. But we know we can't do these things totally by ourselves. Okay, purpose. I wanted to write a clear, concise purpose statement. It's the purpose of Jeremiah's Call. That's the name of this ministry. Purpose of Jeremiah's Call to establish counseling centers in Ireland in order to protect the lives of unborn children, provide resources for expectant parents, and offer forgiveness and reconciliation for people who suffer from post-abortion trauma. That in talking with Keturah about, you know, what do you want to do? So, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm doing. And so this statement, you know, here's protecting children, resources, forgiveness, reconciliation, a purpose statement. Then the priorities. Here's a description of how this ministry will spend its time, energy, and money. Now, this is very important for other people to know, what are you going to be doing, Keturah? Are you going to be sightseeing in Ireland? No, these are the things that she considers as priorities. Training volunteers to assist in this ministry is a priority. Counseling services for expectant parents, new parents, post-abortion trauma. That's the priority. The third would be community awareness of services provided through school, church, and community activities. So she's going to be speaking before a number of different people and different groups of people. Fourth, evangelism. The pro-life message is a good news message. And Keturah is being sponsored as well by Save a Life International and just an organization that, as I stated earlier, has really put evangelism at the forefront, that they want, when a young woman comes in the door wanting to know if she's pregnant, that they want to provide her with a pregnancy test. They want to provide her the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they also want to help her understand that she's got life within her and that this life is precious and sacred, that she can either be a mother or that she can have this child placed for adoption. And so these are the kinds of things that Keturah is going to be involved in, but evangelism. And then priorities of establishing counseling centers in each major city in Ireland. This is a big goal. There's a woman that we've known for a number of years now, never done anything like this, never been involved in missions, but God has called her. So these are the priorities of training and counseling and community awareness and evangelism and establishing counseling centers. And so I would encourage you that as you're working through this, either yourself, the ministry that you're involved in, or you're helping someone else begin a new ministry, to say, well, what do you want to do with your time, energy, and money? What are your priorities? And help them make a list of these things. A vision state. The kind of an understanding about this is that while Ireland does not legally permit abortion, nevertheless, over 6,000 women travel each year to the United Kingdom to have abortions. And so a vision statement. Jeremiah's call seeks to offer the hope found in a relationship with Jesus Christ to see abortion. These people that see abortion as their only option, and to offer healing for people who suffer from the effects of post-abortion trauma. And so her vision, talking to her, is like, what do you want to see happen? And so she just began to talk about things and began then to pull these ideas together in terms of a vision statement, a counseling center that offers a grace-based approach to people in stress-filled situations. That's kind of an atmosphere they're wanting to provide. A center that offers free pregnancy testing. A center that provides hands-on training opportunities for people who have hearts for desperate people. A center where prayer is a major activity of each day and where prayer is a way of life. Keturah, knowing how prayer is so much a part of her life, knew that that would be an important part of her vision statement. A place where people, particularly young adults, can become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of her heart for young people, because she herself was in that situation at one time, she now wants to help other people. A ministry that impacts the nation of Ireland through pro-life witness. This is part of her vision statement. A ministry that cooperates with other pro-life groups in maintaining current pro-life laws in Ireland. Vision. You see, the burden of the Lord now being expressed in vision. A faith statement. Well, you talked about, well, you need to let people know what you believe so they can understand, you know, where you're coming from in this. That theology of ministry in terms of this particular new work, this new ministry. And so a faith statement that Jeremiah's call affirms the historic affirmations of faith of Orthodox evangelical Christianity, the apostles and Nicene creeds, and will seek to cooperate with other like-minded believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging new believers to find and participate in a local church. They'll make a statement about that under the sponsorship of our own church and the local covering of the church in Ireland where she's going to be, the ministry will seek to enlarge the kingdom of God through adherence to biblical principles. And so making a faith statement. Also, we talked about values, that what we think is important. And as much as anything, when we talked to earlier in the first session about the Apostles' Creed, that it's out of belief, but those values are expressed in terms of whether it's stewardship or worship or evangelism or community involvement. These values are expressed in different ways and what we think is important. So a value statement. As a ministry sponsored by a local church, the values that have helped shape that church are also values that are important to Jeremiah's call in shaping the way that we conduct our lives in ministry. As Keturah speaks at other churches, because she's saying, out of values that I've received while attending that local church, I want to share those values. I want this ministry to be based on those values. We value Christ-centeredness. We want to exalt Jesus in all that we do. We value being Spirit-led. We want to do what the Father is doing today. We value prayer. We seek vital intimacy with God through prayer. We value integrity. We want to seek God's righteousness in all relations. We value confidentiality with the people we counsel and will practice biblical standards of stewardship and financial accountability. You know, important statements, but not just assumed, but written down, it becomes a source of accountability as well. We value excellence. We want to do all that we do for the glory of God. We value simplicity. We want to shun hype and excess in favor of being supernaturally natural. And she's not going to Ireland and thinking, I'm better than somebody else, but just naturally sharing Jesus with other people. And yet at the same time, hoping that the Holy Spirit will give insights into what's going on in the lives of the people that she's counseling, but doing it in a supernaturally natural way. We value being culturally relevant. We want to conduct this ministry in a manner that shows awareness and sensitivity to the Irish culture, with the knowledge that programs or approaches that may work in the United States may not work in Ireland. By seeking first God's kingdom, we choose to put aside prejudices about the customs of the communities in which we offer ministry. And we talked about this in terms of being open, being flexible in terms of, finding out, this particular program that worked really well in the United States, it doesn't seem to work in Ireland. Well, how can we adapt it to that culture there? And something that Keturah, of course, is being facing, but in a country where 96% of the people are Catholic, only 4% are Protestant, it's like less than 1% are evangelical, she's dealing with the reality of how to work with evangelical Catholics, something that she never thought about before. But being culturally relevant. We value leaders. You see, leaders as gifts from God who desire to equip believers in doing ministry. Jeremiah's call is led by a director who has been called of God, confirmed by her home church, the church in town in Ireland where she's going, and by Save a Life International. Jeremiah's call will seek to recruit, train, deploy, and monitor additional leaders for this ministry. And then the statement about generosity. We value generosity. We desire to make an investment in the lives of the Irish people through promoting pro-life policies, and will give generously to pro-life causes in Ireland. And then finally, a mission statement. Now, I hope that you notice these different elements of this particular statement that was prepared for this ministry. Statement about purpose, about priorities, about vision, a faith statement, a value statement, and now a mission statement. Just expressing it as concisely, as clearly as possible. Our mission statement. God has a definite calling for Jeremiah's call. We refer to that calling as our mission. The mission of Jeremiah's call is, and here's the statements. First, to honor God, the Creator, through life-affirming, counseling, training, and outreach to the nation of Ireland. Second, to provide counseling centers that assist expectant parents, new parents, and people who suffer from post-abortion related issues. Third, to provide a model in Ireland for pro-life counseling centers. Fourth, to assist in the establishment of pro-life counseling centers in 10 major population centers in Ireland. Fifth, to pursue unity with the larger body of Christ in Ireland in promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this statement has been printed and circulated, people have been able to understand, that's what you're going to be doing, Keturah. Oh, now I understand. It's unfortunate that Keturah was interviewed by someone for the local newspaper, and it was before the statement was out and in print. And it's like that reporter, even though she talked a lot, she and Keturah talked a long time and everything, the reporter didn't pick up all the stuff about what she's actually going to be doing there. And so it was a nice article about Ireland. It was not about the work that she's going to be doing when she's in Ireland. So it's so very important that we think through this process. What's my purpose? What are our priorities? How can we express our vision? How is our faith being expressed in what we're doing? A faith statement. A value statement. And I just really want to challenge you about this. I don't feel like Malthus spent quite enough time in the book talking about this in terms of values. What do you value as being important? This comes down to, in our families oftentimes, what do we consider to be valuable in terms of how we spend our time? For example, my sister and her husband, they've always had a great value about spending time as a family fishing. And so their vacations are fishing vacations. They go to the Florida Keys and they fish for a couple of weeks. Well, that's a value that they have. They enjoy doing that as a family. And much of their time is devoted to that in terms of vacation time. Our family has valued instead traveling and seeing the United States and taking our kids to historical places, points of interest kind of thing. So that's a value for us. And we've lived that out as a family and traveling to the Grand Canyon or to Niagara Falls or New York City or wherever. Well, values. Similarly, in churches, we live out our values. She has a statement here about values, things that she considered to be very important. This is how I'm going to conduct business. We sometimes allow the language of the business world to affect us adversely in the church. And we take on a CEO mentality of the pastor as being this chief executive officer. We're servants. Think of Mark 10:45. This is what really, as much as anything, a theme for this course. Jesus said that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. At some churches, we have the 10 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service or whatever. Well, think about the 10:45 service. That's that Mark 10:45 of not to be served, but to serve. And that service expressed out of our beliefs in the Almighty God who gave his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might spend eternity with him. Until then, we want to see as many as possible come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's where we want to stop for this session, here in thinking about this whole matter of Habakkuk on vision and on that, actually expressing this in terms of your own vision in your local church. And I want to just challenge you. Maybe right now you've got your mind on some new ministry that you'd like to see get started out of your own local church. Maybe you've decided, you've been thinking for a while about outreach to the poor, for example. And maybe, as we've talked about from Luke 4:18 to 19, that kind of stirred you up some more about good news to the poor. And you've been thinking about that. Well, I would just challenge you to just put it on paper. About what do you want to see happen? Here's the burden of the Lord has been affecting you. You've been stirred up by the Spirit of the Lord about this particular ministry. Well, put it down on paper. Put it down in terms of purpose and vision and priorities. And just put it all down and just ask God to show you, to give you insight. You do that in terms of this new ministry emerging. That God clearly show you, give you the path, give you the way to go. Proverbs is so right about where there is no vision, the people perish. And we see that in our own lives as well. When we find ourselves at that place in our life, maybe we've had some great accomplishment and that task has been finished. Perhaps it was a building program or some other. It was like you reached a milestone and then you kind of sit back for a little bit. It's like, what's next? And sometimes we kind of find ourselves lulling into a place of despondency and depression or whatever. But instead to know that the Lord has incredible things for so many of us to do. Like his word says, that he gives exceedingly abundant and more than we can ask or think. And he wants to do his incredible work through each of our lives. Well, God bless you. We'll look forward to the next session together here in this course on theology of ministry.
All right, for this third session on theology of ministry, we want us to think about vision implementation, implementing a vision. I've reversed the order of topics that Audrey Mulfer's addresses in developing a vision for ministry in the 21st century because it's sometimes easy for us preachers to think that once we've preached on something that takes care of it. But as two chapters in the book on implementation show, vision casting is more than preaching an occasional sermon and expecting everybody to get excited about a new expression of ministry. The advertising people know that it takes many forms of advertising to introduce a new product. Why should we think folks are going to get it the first time they hear about the wonderful new and different idea that the preacher's come up with? No, it takes many different ways of getting that message across. In this session, let's focus on how is an idea for ministry made into reality. It's exciting to see someone get inspired with an idea for ministry and then see that idea bear fruit. I remember preaching about John the Baptist in an Advent sermon, preparing the way for Jesus. I mentioned John, he who has two coats, give to the one who has none. That's Luke 3:11.